Let's begin with new CEO Mary Pat Corrigan. Congratulations, first of all, on the position.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be there and inspired by the volunteers and patients that we see.
Now, you have a long background in healthcare and leadership. Let's talk about your vision for volunteers in medicine. First and foremost, you want to educate the public about the role it plays in this area, a critical role, filling some gaps in coverage and helping the working uninsured, correct?
Correct. We are here for the working uninsured. You must be working to become a patient. And there's still a large need for our services. If you really think about your day, as you go along your day, if you have a child, they got on a school bus, you drop a child off at daycare, you go into work, your office is clean, the security guard greets you, the person in the cafeteria that serves you, all of those people are our patients.
Right. And these could be your neighbors, people that you work with, people that you see at your child's school. These are working folks who make a certain amount of money. And Dr. Adams, it's really important to point out that despite the passage of the Affordable Care Act, more than 20% of people here in Duval County are still without insurance. That's the estimate, isn't it?
Well, that's what I heard. That would be, you know, over 100,000 people right here in the county, which is a pretty big bunch. And what we're able to do is take care of people that had something go wrong, they had a health issue, and it was taken care of emergently, perhaps, in a big hospital. But now there's no aftercare for a lot of these people. They don't have any way to get surveilled, for example, after they've had a heart attack and an angioplasty or a heart valve operation. And yet they're not yet disabled. They don't qualify for disability in many cases, and they're not old enough to get Medicare. So this is a place, a real opportunity. And we just feel that if we get the story out, that we'd like to see a lot of support from the community, both in terms of patients, volunteers, and all kinds of things to make this a success.
It is called Volunteers in Medicine. You are a cardiologist who is volunteering your time.
A gentleman that I practiced with, Dr. Jim Burt, a well-known urologist about 10 years ago, was one of the founders and came to me back in 2003 and said that the clinic was getting started and asked if I wanted to participate, and luckily I said the right thing and showed up just to see what was going on, and I've just kept coming back because it's such an enjoyable experience every time I go.
And you want to put the call out right now. You need more volunteers. You're also kicking off an awareness and a fundraising campaign. Tell us about it.
Correct. We want potential patients to know that we exist. We're an actual clinic that treats you. We have integrated care. We have primary care. We have specialists like Dr. Adams. We have mental health services, nutritional services, and we are there to serve this gap. And so we want patients who need it to come see us. But in order to do so, we need funds. We need money, and we rely on donors, from individual donors who can donate, you know, anything from $20, which will provide medications for a patient, to business partners who can provide $20,000, $50,000 to support one of our programs, our diabetic program, our eye program.
We'll go to your calls in just a moment with your questions for volunteers in medicine and your thoughts and comments about the Affordable Care Act. And I'm just looking here at some of your background information. These are your patients, everyone from school bus drivers to restaurant workers, security officers, the people who come and mow your lawn, the people who cut your hair, the folks that take care of your parents in the retirement home, customer service representatives. We are talking about the working uninsured, doctor, and there are so many people out there right now listening to this program or know someone like this. They are still seeking insurance, or their insurance doesn't always cover everything they need done, right?
The fact is that people in the job categories that you listed, many times there just really isn't an insurance option that goes with their pay. So they're just living on their paychecks. And these people have a lot of pride. They don't choose, in many cases, to try to get disability coverage simply because they like what they do. They want to contribute in society.
The other question I wanted to bring out as well is that Florida decided under the Affordable Care Act not to expand Medicaid. That means volunteers in medicine continues to play a critical role in this community. Can you explain the dynamics of that situation?
Correct. The Affordable Care Act was written with the assumption that Medicaid would be expanded. Since Florida has not, there is the poorest of the working poor, both don't qualify for Medicaid and do not qualify for subsidies under the Affordable Care Act. So they have no option except for volunteers in medicine and other community providers.
And there are a few, but not many.
That's correct.
That fulfill this kind of role. Meanwhile, lots of calls. What are your questions for volunteers in medicine? What are your thoughts about the impact in Florida of the Affordable Care Act? What are your questions and comments about your own medical coverage? Give us a call, 549-2937. Let's begin with Kaylee on the UNF campus. Hey, Kaylee, good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, thanks. How are things your way? Are you a student?
Good. I'm a student at the University of North Florida. I'm 22. I've been working my whole life, well, since I was 16, and I could. So I know the importance of working hard for what you want. And unfortunately, growing up, I mean, my mom and my dad lost their jobs, and I was I didn't have health insurance. So I was one of those people, a large amount of people, who isn't insured right now. And I think my generation, they think they're invincible, you know, like nothing's going to happen. And even my boyfriend, I've heard him say that sentence. Why should I worry? Nothing's going to happen to me. And then about a year and a half ago, something did happen. I got in an accident and I wasn't insured. And if it wasn't my fault, I'd be $50,000 in debt. And
So I
looked into the Affordable Care Act and I found a plan that worked for me, $90 a month for health and for dental. And I'm not as informed, I think, as I should be, and I'll admit that, I guess, on the radio. But I've heard a lot of mixed reviews about the Affordable Care Act. And I mean, for me, it's worked, and I'm insured, and I'm proud to be insured. And that's all I have to say.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call, Kaylee. Of course, under this law, kids can stay on their parents' insurance till they turn 26 under the Affordable Care Act. She's got her own insurance, though, as a young adult. Dr. Adams, do you see a lot of young people that come into the clinic, or is it primarily older people?
Oh, the average age is probably in their 40s. Most kids tend to do without until something comes up. What do you think, Mary Pat, about the demographics?
Our biggest segment is the 40 to 50-year-olds. We do have everything up to 65, or whatever the age for Medicare is now. But we accept everybody. And the key, as Kaylee pointed out, is to go ahead and get into, whether you get insured or get into a clinic like ours, so that you do have some place to go if something does happen.
549-2937. Are you uninsured, underinsured? What are your questions for the show this morning? Cameron in St. Augustine. Hey, Cameron, good morning. You're on the air.
How are you doing? Good morning.
Go ahead and turn your radio down, Cameron, and go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, my question was, I was thinking, you know, I'm also a 23-year-old who has been working my whole life. I've never had insurance. My father's never had insurance, neither has any of my family. Luckily, we've had enough means to pay for it in cash and stuff for things we needed, dental or whatever it was. But my question was, do you think that the problem is, because I've had doctors who tell me their practices have to sometimes upcharge for simple things like very small items, rides and stuff like that. Like you get a ride in an ambulance, and I saw a bill one time, it was like $7,000 for a ride in an ambulance because of a wreck I was in. And I'm wondering if that it has something to do with the insurance companies, and is there a reason there's such an upcharge on sometimes small items and stuff like that?
Okay. Thanks for the question, Dr. Adams.
Well, I'm not an insurance person, but the way I understand it is that the care providers and the payers negotiate on a usual and customary number per service. And that number is fictitious. Nobody ever paid that in actuality, but that's just the going custom, and then they negotiate down from there to what the provider actually is willing to receive from the payer, and it's a steep discount.
And if people come to volunteers in medicine, Mary Pat, and they have no ability to pay, what's the fee structure? How does it work?
It is a free clinic. There is no fee structure. We rely on donations. If the patients are willing to give us donations, we will take those. But it is a free clinic. And we provide the physician and provider care, plus some key medications that they might need in order to keep their chronic condition at bay. Because if we don't provide those medications, they're going to end up back in the emergency room because their insulin levels are out of whack or their hypertension, their blood pressure shoots up. And it's really our goal to keep these people employed, to help them progress, to keep them out of the ER, to really help Jacksonville economically in addition to these individuals physically.
And for people listening right now, where's Volunteers in Medicine's clinic located?
Volunteers in Medicine is located right downtown at the corner of Duval and Ocean Street. It's a blue, ocean blue building, so you can see it when you come down. It's very centrally located.
Let's go to Henry on the north side. Hey, Henry, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. Yeah, my question is twofold. The first one is, where is the clinic located?
Duval and Ocean Streets, downtown Jacksonville.
Duval and Ocean? Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
And the other part of the question is the medications. Some of the medications that are given to us that we need to have for our ailments are kind of pricey, and I'm wondering if there's a program that you guys offer so we can get them at a reasonable rate.
Sure. Thanks for that question.
Yes. We do a couple of things. If the medication is on the $4 formulary at one of our local drugstores, we ask that you get it there. We do provide some medications for chronic conditions, but we also work to get our patients enrolled in patient assistant programs so that they can get medications at a reduced rate from the manufacturers.
Lots of calls, emails, and tweets as we welcome Volunteers in Medicine to the show. Even under the Affordable Care Act, people might sometimes still be paying as much as 25% of their income to get health insurance. What are your questions about this topic? Let's go to Amanda in Jacksonville Beach. Hi, Amanda. Go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you. I'm also one of those employed working people that do not have insurance right now. It's not provided to me through my company. And under the Affordable Care Act, I do not qualify for a subsidy because I do not make enough money. So my question to you is, I have visited some of the free clinics here in town before, and as much as they're trying to do for our community, our wait was like 6 or 7 hours to see a doctor. And as a working person, that's really difficult to, you know, sit there and wait 6 or 7 hours to see a doctor. I just wanted to know, like, what is your method of getting an appointment? How fast can you actually take people in? And how does that work?
Thanks for the question, Amanda.
That's a great question. We are focused on working people and keeping people in their jobs. So we set appointments for the patients, and we try to keep pretty strictly to those times so that you're away from your job for the shortest amount of time possible. So it is not a long wait. You'll have a scheduled appointment. You go in, you see the provider, and then you're able to go back to work.
Yeah. And Dr. Adams, you have quite a few stories to share about the patients you work with, correct?
Well, it's first of all, I think the thing that I would say is that it's just a lot of fun to go there. I never go there, but that somebody there doesn't say thanks, and they just mean it.
That's nice.
So,
yeah.
You know, and as patients and also other volunteers and the professional staff. But, you know, yesterday I had a gentleman that had an artificial heart valve implanted at one of the local hospitals about 4 years ago, which happens to require him to be on lifelong blood thinner, which requires constant monitoring, and it has to be done within a very narrow range. If he doesn't get this service provided, he's out of luck. He's not going to be able to survive very long if he doesn't have that done. And, you know, when they put the valve in, they sort of, that's not really made any arrangement for. And it's up to the patient to try and get it to happen. So, you know, that's something that I feel very strongly that it's great. And also thinking about the young woman that was calling up, I do believe this is out of my area, but I think that they do provide a lot of well woman services, which is what basically a 20-year-old woman is probably going to need for, you know, routine GYN type stuff.
Right. Sure. We have a very large well woman program.
Good to know. And let's go to Peggy in Arlington now. Hello, Peggy. Good morning.
Good morning to you all. Thank you for what you do. I am a volunteer in another organization, and I know how valuable they are. My question is, why did the state of Florida choose not to participate in the Medicaid program? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Right. And thank you for that, Peggy. That's a complicated answer. Initially, you know, Mary Pat, Governor Scott was not for the Medicaid expansion. Then he changed his mind and was for it. But the Florida House, I believe, said, no, we're not for expanding Medicaid. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. We don't really concentrate on that aspect of it. We are here for the people that we can serve. We have patients like Stephanie who came in, had multiple issues. She had diabetes, depression, et cetera. She sent us a note recently and basically said, you have changed my whole life. I have a team now. Everyone's on my side. You give me the tools and instructions and strategies to make my life better. And that's what we're concentrating on doing. We're concentrating on filling that gap and helping the working people remain working and progress in their life.
And here's a tweet from a listener. What impact do programs like Florida Health Choices have in reducing the rate of the uninsured?
I really am not an expert on that, so I can't speak to that. I don't know if Dr. Adams can.
Well, I think it's great that the callers are interested in the big picture aspects and what programs are going in which directions. We're just a little part of that. All we did was recognize a need and step up to fill it. And that's pretty much our focus.
And in a moment, we'll tell you how you can support the mission of volunteers in medicine with your time, talent, and treasure. But first, let's go to Barbara in Atlantic Beach. Hi, Barbara. Go ahead.
Hello?
Is this Barbara?
No, this is Paul in Orange Park.
Okay. I'm sorry, Paul. That's my fault. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, just real quick. According to the news I heard on NPR, 36 out of the 50 states had rejected the idea of using the National Healthcare Clearing House and subsequently lost the funding that would have come with it, which would explain why some people's insurance is unaffordable.
Yeah, thank you, Paul, for pointing that out. I heard that report, too. Let's go to Barbara in Atlantic Beach now. Hi, Barbara. Sorry about that. You're on the air, Barbara.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Can y'all hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Yes. We were patients at Volunteers in Medicine a couple of years ago, and this is a fantastic program. I got my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time. He had not been to a doctor in about 10, 15 years.
Man.
Yeah. I found Volunteers in Medicine after I discovered he had not been to a doctor. I went online, checked all the programs, and VIM was perfect because he was working. He didn't qualify for anything else. The thing, and for any of the callers out there listening, the thing about Volunteers in Medicine is you have to qualify. It's not one of those you just walk in. So you make an appointment. They go, you bring your finances, financial information, they go over and determine if you qualify. And then they have another appointment where you're evaluated by a clinician, and then you are basically in the program. It is one of the most amazing programs, and it's done by mostly volunteers. And I tell any clinician I run across to tell other clinicians the importance of volunteering there because they need specialty. They are staffed by a number of retired specialists like ENTs and so forth, who are fantastic. This program, I do not say this lightly, saved my husband's life. He had some issues that they caught and corrected, and he at one point had to have surgery. He had had a hernia for 9 years. He'd been pushing it back in. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't mean to gross, but they got him taken care of. Nobody else would have been able to do that.
Yeah. So it's it really is just you're right. It has saved lives, Barbara, and I so appreciate you
donate to it.
Yeah, I so appreciate you telling the story. That story. Thank you. That sets this up perfectly, Barbara, for Dr. Adams and Mary Pat to explain to the public. You are kicking off a big awareness and fundraising campaign so that more people like Barbara's husband can be helped. Can you tell us about this campaign?
Sure. It's an annual fund campaign. We're kicking it off. We have a goal of $125,000, and it's to support the mission, just like Barbara just referred to. So we're kicking that off today, and we appreciate you having us on here to do that. Folks can donate in any number of ways. They can go to our website, www.vim-jax.org, or call 399-2766, extension 123.
It's Volunteers in Medicine. Learn more about them and support them. Dr. Adams and new CEO Mary Pat Corrigan, kudos to the great work you're doing, and thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much, Melissa.
Thank you so much for having us.